السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, today is the first Jumu'ah of the month of Muharram, and the first Jumu'ah of the new year for every Muslim. As Muslims, priority should be towards our deen, towards our iman. In this world, we always prioritize. A person is in his business, let's get our priorities straight. Prioritizing is a very important management skill, a skill in organizing, in any organization, the ability to prioritize. In our own personal lives, we also need to understand our priorities. And how do we measure a priority? With regards to the adverse effect of that priority not being fulfilled. So for example, if a person leaves out a certain aspect in his business, it may cause certain ramifications and adverse effects. However, if we measure that and weigh that against something else which is much more serious, we can clearly deduce from that look, this is more important than that, because the harm that can be noticed or experienced by us not fulfilling A is far more greater than B. So we prioritize. Respected elders and brothers, our deen. If an individual does not bring deen into his life, the harm is not confined to this world. In this world, if a person suffers some kind of material loss, the harm of that is confined and restricted to this world. Therefore, by the definition that was just given, our deen should then effectively be given more priority than dunya. Because if a person suffers some kind of loss in terms of his material wealth, it's confined and restricted to this world, as opposed to loss which is experienced in terms of our dunya, in terms of our deen. If a person does not have salah in his life, then the effect of that non-performance of salah will not only be confined and restricted to his life in this world, but he will see the effects in the hereafter as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, the issue of prioritizing is extremely important as Muslims as well. We should always give priority to deen over everything else. Very often you will find when it comes to the parent and the child, the parent will give so much of emphasis to the accumulation and to the enhancement of the secular side of the child, or as some people say, the life skill side of the child. and the deen of the child is put on the sidelines. It's marginalized. But if you go to madrasa, you go, you're not feeling well, leave the madrasa out. Exam time, don't go to the madrasa, it's fine. The main thing, the school work, make sure you know your English, maths, that you get good marks. That's the most important thing. As teachers, as parents, unfortunately, we have taught our children that priority for them is this world. Deen is something, by the way, it's not so important. Therefore, there needs to be a change in the mindset of parents as well. Because respected elders and brothers, yes, we're not saying that we should not see to the material wealth of the child and that the child should not do well in his school. We're not saying that. He must do well in his school. He must do well in the maths and the English. But more important than that, the child must learn about deen. He must learn about Allah. He must learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must learn about salah. He must learn about the beautiful deen of Islam. He must become a strong Muslim and mu'min. That iman and his conviction and yaqeen must be strongly entrenched within his heart. This is the most important thing, respected elders and brothers. When it comes to our children, this is something that we need to transfer over. Otherwise, respected elders and brothers, Allah protect us and Allah have mercy on the next generation. We find that parents are giving so much of priority to dunya and to this material wealth. The result will be that first of all, the child will suffer. The child will suffer in this world as well. Because remember, respected elders and brothers, when you don't have the help of Allah in your life, you can have as many qualifications as can fit the entire wall of your office. But if Allah's help is not there, respected elders and brothers, you will constantly have issues and problems and anxiety and worry and stress. And on the contrary, when the person has got the help of Allah with him, when that person has got Allah with him, then there is no problem that cannot be resolved. Allah will find a way from every single problem. That particular child, as he grows up, because he has got strong bond and connection with Allah, though the parents have left the world, but the parents have linked that child to Allah, the controller over the seven heavens and the earth. The parents are gone, but the parents have left behind a strong bond and connection between their child and Allah. The child is sorted out. All issues are resolved. The parent can be rest assured that my child will be seen to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the parents have made sure and ensured that the child has got a strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, together with ensuring that our child have a high level and high standard of education, we need to ensure that our children have got a strong bond and connection with Allah and with deen and with Islam. It's extremely essential. There was a famous incident that took place in India. We know that India was a British colony, and the British had a great influence over the people of India. They brainwashed them. It was Great Britain. Everyone looked up this Great Britain, great, great, very great. So unfortunately, everyone looked up to them. So everyone aspired that my child must go to Great Britain and get an education and get a degree. So the simple people who were working in the fields, they would work very hard to save up and send their children overseas. One particular individual was a little simple villager, saved up and worked hard, sent his son to the Oxford University. When the son returned, the father became very ill. Now the father was lying on the bed, last few moments of his life. The son was standing there. Relatives were coming to visit. Somebody was reading Yasin Sharif, somebody was reading Surah Mulk, somebody was reading Wazifa, somebody was doing this. That son, who had a lot of degrees, was standing silent. Kept quiet. Eventually the father passed away. At the grave, the son began crying. He started speaking to the father. People who were there witnessed this entire incident. He said, "Oh my father, you worked so hard. So hard you sent me. I have all those degrees. But today I'm standing at your grave and I do not even know how to recite for you. I cannot read for you. All those degrees, are they going to be of any assistance? When the child goes into the grave, he's got a lot of degrees. The angel of death comes, or the angels, kiraman katibin, or munkar and nakir, to question the person. So they will just hold on a second, you know, this university, I qualified, I've got this degree, and I've got this. This is my CV. You need to look at the CV before you ask any questions. So respected Elizabeth, once again, we are not saying that we should not get these degrees and we should not get high qualification. Alhamdulillah, get as many qualifications as we can. As Muslims, we should try and enhance ourselves. But what is the sense when the person has got all these degrees? He's a judge, he's an advocate, he's a doctor, he's a professor in a university, he's the head of the particular department. But no salah, no fasting, no deen in his life, hardly ever in the masjid. So is that the kind of Muslim that we require? So respected elders and brothers, we are now at the dawn of a new Islamic calendar, a new Islamic year. There is a new chapter that has opened up in our lives. Normally we always say, and always we hear the statement, that when the year comes to an end and the new year commences, whether it's in the business fraternity, whether it's in the educational fraternity, in whichever department you go into, amongst many aspects, there's two things that they particular about. It's that we need to take stock of what has taken place in the year that has passed. What has happened? Which actions were such that they enhanced the business? So we did a certain thing and we found that to be very productive. We need to make sure we do repeat the same thing. You know, we ordered those goods, they sold very well. Make sure you note down that we order it again the next forthcoming year. We want to make as many profits as we can. You know, that was the mistake that we made last year. This new year that's coming in, let's not make the same. Make sure you don't order from that same person. It gave us a lot of problems. Make sure we don't make the same mistake. Make sure we have enough stock. You know, customers are coming in, stock runs out, now we're losing customers. The person has got fikr. He wants material wealth. He wants to be as productive as possible. In every field, we take stock of what has taken place in the year that has elapsed and passed. And together with that, the person makes some resolutions for the year to come forward. He's got some goals. I need to meet this target. This is my goal for this year. This is what I want to achieve in this particular year. In the educational field, you need to get 100% pass rate, whatever it may be. Similarly, respected elders and brothers, in our lives, we need to be adopting the same technique. Then let us look back into this year that has passed by. The month of Ramadan came, how did I apply myself? The month of Sha'ban came, how did I apply myself? The month of Rajab, Sha'ban, the month of Dhul Hijjah, first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, wal fajri wa layalin ashr, Allah took a qasam on those 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. How did I apply myself? As far as my interpersonal relationship, my wife, my children, my family members, how is that? Let me take stock of the situation. These are the individuals who I'm not on talking terms with. I still haven't been able to bridge that gap. These are the issues. Alhamdulillah, this is what I had done, and Alhamdulillah, this got sorted out. So a person takes stock and makes muhasabah of what has taken place in the year that has elapsed. If there were any shortfalls, the person makes tawbah and istighfar, Ya Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for whatever shortfalls had taken place in the year that has elapsed. And if, Alhamdulillah, the person was able to do something which pleases him, and it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sometimes, may Allah protect us on this point of pleasing, sometimes the person's iman has become so weak that a person becomes happy when he commits sins. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said in the hadith, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنَ, that when your good deeds brings happiness into your heart, and when your sins makes you upset and saddens you, then know very well that you have iman. The person did some good action, gave some charity, performed some salah, made khatam of the Quran Sharif. He feels nice. Alhamdulillah. The person committed some sin, accidental sin, feels bad about it. This is a sign that this person's iman is still intact. May Allah protect us from reaching that phase that a person commits a sin and feels proud and happy. Today we find, unfortunately, many Muslims, they actually announce and advertise the sins that they have committed. They are proud of it. Proud of this particular thing. And if they did some good deed, they feel ashamed. Can't mention it to anyone. Feels embarrassed, feels ashamed. May Allah protect us. So if a person, his iman is all intact, and he did some good deed which brings about happiness into his heart, then there he should make shukr to Allah. Ya Allah, your ability, your fazl, your karam, your mercy, tawfiq which you had granted me, I was able to accomplish this. Oh Allah, perpetuate it. Grant me the ability to do it once again. So the person takes stock and makes muhasabah of what has taken place in the year that has elapsed. And he makes firm resolutions for the year to come forward. That this is what I'm going to be trying to do and trying to achieve within my life. I want to progress further. And as we had mentioned in the introduction, because there were many brothers who are not here, that we need to always prioritize, respected elders and brothers, in our lives as Muslims, we are Muslims first. Our deen comes first. And the reason for this is that if we suffer in terms of some material wealth, that harm or the damage is restricted to this world. But if a person has got some deficiency in his deen and in his iman, then unfortunately, the effect of that will not only be restricted and confined to this world, but rather he will feel the effect of it in the hereafter as well. May Allah protect us. So respected elders and brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith that اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسة. Value five things before five. We have heard this hadith. And we can contextualize it with regards to this year that is coming. The first thing is شبابك قبل حرمك. That those of us who have got youth, person is young, he's vibrant, he's got the energy. Value this energy and the strength that you have before old age sets in. Once old age sets in, respected elders and brothers, the person now cannot do the activities that he used to do previously. He slows down. Those of us who have elderly parents, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to appreciate them and look after them and see to them and support them. But it is not easy when a person reaches this age. When he looks back and he knows how independent he was, and now suddenly he is dependent on others, it's not a nice feeling. So when we have got this energy and this strength within ourselves, let us use this strength and this energy for worthy causes, to invest in our hereafter. The person had energy, he helped the poor, helped the needy. MashaAllah, some individuals are going overseas, they're going to Syria, they're going to Burma, to see to the needs of the orphans and the widows, to help those who are refugees. So they're using their energy to help others. Subhanallah, what an investment in the hereafter. The person has got the energy, he's doing it. Excellent, mashallah. This is all towards the akhirat. He's using his energy and transferring it into the hereafter. When he will go into the next world, then he will see, alhamdulillah, I used my youth, and these are the rewards that I got. It's like a person who is actually changing the currency from one currency to another currency. He takes the rands and changes it into riyals or changes it into dollars. But he can't use it in this world. But when he goes to the next country, now, alhamdulillah, he's got the dollars, he's got the riyals. Now he can do whatever he wishes to do. Those of us who change the energy into the currency of the year after, when we will go into the next life, we'll be smiling. So, شبابك قبل حرمك. وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سُقْمِكَ. Value your health before sickness sets in. Before sickness sets in, respected elders, Allah Ta'ala has given us health, and Allah Ta'ala keep us with good health. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, everything is in the hand of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The person can be so fit and healthy, and suddenly he is afflicted with some deadly disease, may Allah protect us. And then suddenly you see the person from way to way. One youngster visited in the hospital, cancer. Strong, fit, Healthy youngster, now you see him in the hospital, condition deteriorating. So when we have this health, we should always ask Allah Ta'ala for good health. But when we have health, value it. Use the health for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That individual who uses his health and uses his youth in the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, respected elders and brothers, he is squandering such a valuable asset. He's squandering a valuable asset. The asset of health and the asset of youth, which will never come back again. Remember, O youngsters, O youth, this youth which you have will never come back again. Therefore, use it, value it, and Allah will reward you greatly. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. There will be seven individuals who on the day of Qiyamah will be called forward, and Allah Ta'ala will treat them like VIPs. They will be given shade under the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, under the throne of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They will be close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on that day when there will be no other shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Amongst those individuals, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. That youngster, that youth who grows up in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. His entire youth went in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When youngsters are going, and it's not easy for a youngster, all his friends are now, all of them. One youngster mentioned to me, Morana, in my classroom, whole class all listen to music, all of them are talking to girls. I'm the only one. Now imagine for that youngster how challenging it is. What kind of peer pressure? All of them are, we all got girlfriends. Now which world you live in? You need to move forward in life. So there's a pressure upon him. And he says, no, my Allah is more beloved to me. Never mind, I'll sacrifice my youth for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When Sahaba Ikram sacrificed their blood for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, At least I can say, Ya Allah, my youth, everybody was inviting me towards evil. Everyone was inviting me towards the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. At that time I put the metaphorical sword, the figurative sword of taqwa upon my heart. I sliced and shattered my heart into a million pieces, but I did it for my Allah Subhanahu. So that youngster, it's not easy for him. All his friends are out chatting with the girls on these social sites. Parents, unfortunately, give their children access to these devices. They do not realize what their children are being exposed to. And they do not realize how dangerous these devices are for the children. Remember, a child, Ash-shababu shu'batun min al-junoon, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that youth is a branch of madness. Doesn't mean that children are mad, but sometimes we say they do crazy things. Don't we say that? They do crazy things. They do not have that long and that far-sightedness. And in that josh and in that emotional state, the boy sends some picture or the girl sends some picture of herself, an indecent picture, and now it's too late. Now the parents don't know what to do. Now their picture is gone, and from where to where. Sometimes that girl or that youngster reaches the point where they are even prepared to take their own lives. We have to realize, respected elders and brothers, let's understand the reality. Yes, it is extremely beneficial, but on the same token, it is also just as dangerous. Therefore, those parents who wish to give their children access to these devices, there needs to be absolute supervision. There needs to be absolute monitoring. Absolute monitoring and supervision. It's like the example of a person who's got a swimming pool and he's got little children running around the swimming pool. He needs to ensure that he's got the safety net on the swimming pool. Now he says, no, what is Maulana talking about safety net and all that? Just relax, take it easy. Don't put pressure on us. Who's going to suffer in the end? When that child falls in the pool and the child doesn't have the ability to swim and the child then drowns, is the Maulana going to suffer or is the parent going to suffer? Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we are saying this for the safety of your own children, for the safety of our own children. Just giving them free access to these devices, free access to the internet. What is happening, respected elders and brothers, is absolutely shocking beyond belief. Some children have even lost their iman and they're hiding it from their parents. There was a case of a girl who was sent to a white school. She hid the fact that she had become a Christian. Until eventually, the mother was going through the daughter's cupboard and she found the Bible inside the cupboard. right under the noses of the parents, yet the mother is in parda and the father is five times namazi. When I tried to explain to the mother that why are you sending your child to this kind of a school, she said, well, you know, the other cousin went, nothing happened to him. So I mentioned to her that if you saw somebody putting their child in a river that was infested in crocodiles, and then the child managed to reach the other side, will you say, well, that child made it across, so let me put my child in the river as well? Respected elders and brothers, we need to understand our children are so important. We need to invest and protect our children. As parents, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyati. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu remember, mentioned that, remember, each and every one of you is a shepherd. You have a flock of sheep that you have to look after. Whether it's your children, whether it's your wife, whether it's your family, whether it's your staff. We need to look after them. We need to protect the iman. So therefore we are saying, yes, sometimes the child needs to do some research. Put the computer in such a place, a communal area. You can go onto the internet. We are watching what is going on. We are monitoring things. Put some passwords there. Make sure that everything is protected. The child's mobile device, if we really want to take that risk and give him his own device, then it should be such that at any point we can take it back. All the passwords must be known. We can go through the entire device at any moment. If the child got a password and he doesn't want to give it and he's hiding it and ducking it and putting it here, then we should ask some serious questions. There's something wrong here. There's something suspicious. If the individual does not know how to charm the snake and that cobra and that python, will we ever give that person the python and the snake? So yes, we as adults, alhamdulillah, we are able to control. In fact, unfortunately, even adults can't control themselves. So what about the children? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We are now living in an era where there is an explosion of technology. And it's just new applications and new devices and new this and new social platforms. As parents, let us rather occupy our children in good activities. Take our sons out, go for some camping, go for hiking, take them out, invest in our children, go and play with them. Unfortunately, the children are being restricted to these things and we are losing our youth. We are losing the iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the youth of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the parents the realizations of the great responsibility that rests upon their shoulders. To become a parent, it's a very nice thing. It's a joy to see the children. But remember, with that joy comes great responsibilities. Great, great responsibilities. And we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah how we brought our children up. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to invest in our children. Remember, if we will invest in our children, that child will become a means of perpetual reward for the parent. Perpetual reward. And I will end on one incident, that there was an individual who was a perpetual drunkard. Perpetual drunkard. He passed away in a drunken condition. In his grave, he was being punished continuously. The mother was a good woman. He had left behind a son. As the toddler grew up, the mother immediately put the child by some alim into some madrasa. The child started learning alif ba ta ta. In the meanwhile, the father is constantly being punished in the grave. Suddenly the punishment ceases. Suddenly a door in his grave opens and the fragrance of Jannah now enters his grave. He's amazed. What has happened? Why is this happening? He says, you see, today your son was going to the madrasa. Today your son learned to recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Ta'ala said that when the son is calling me most forgiving, most merciful, how can I punish the father? So respected elders and brothers, if we invest in our children, then we will benefit not only in this world, but in the year after as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.